God has given us the marvelous sense of sight. With it, we observe and we ponder his awesome creation. For example, the snow-clad mountains of the shores of Southeast Alaska, jutting straight up out of the ocean. That was an awesome sight for us when we were on our cruise in that area. Another one, the waving limbs of trees and the grasses of the fields when the wind blows. Such a rhythmic feel to it. It's awesome to watch that. It feels good. And then the flight patterns of each species of bird as that bird flies through the air. The goldfinch is brrrt. And the aerialists, the swallows, they zip. But then all of a sudden they turn quickly, you know, that way. That's better than a UFO. That's really awesome to see. But even more, the flight pattern of the hummingbird. It's just the creation of God is so marvelous to see. Even the growth of children. From a newborn babe to an adult. That one takes years, but you watch, you observe the children as they grow, and then you see them. They're all grown up, and you see what they've become, men and women. Through the sense of sight, we watch many things throughout our lives. And yet, there is a different sense of sight that we do experience. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, you'll recognize that reference. Matthew 24 deals with the Olivet prophecy. Let's go to verse 42. Here Jesus gave a strong directive to his disciples after the discourse of the Olivet prophecy. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Speaking to the context of when is the day of the Lord going to come? But we watch. That's a different sense of watching. So that's a directive from Jesus Christ. And what did he mean? How do we understand that particular command? So today we'll explore the how and the what of understanding Jesus' command to actively watch. Now, to begin with, let's look up some Greek words translated watch in the New Testament. First one is Strong's number 69. Agrupneo, A-G-R-U-P-N-E-O, agrupneo. This means to be sleepless. Keep awake. And that's four times in the New Testament. Another Greek word translated watch is Gregorio. Gregorio. That's Greek strong number 1127. It's to keep awake. Be vigilant. Be and keep sober. That's 23 times in the New Testament. Then we have another term Greek number 5083. And I'll spell it. T-E-R-E-O. Tereo. Tereo. Is to keep an eye on. That means to keep an eye on something. To guard from loss or injury. The act of guarding. Or to prevent an escaping. So you have that particular term that's quoted in the New Testament and translated. So let's go to the first point, the how. You know, the meaning of these words that I've just talked about, they give a broad overview of the term watching and the how of watching. They describe what we do. In other words, we are to be fully awake. We are to be vigilant, to keep sober, be on guard so that you don't lose anything or prevent an injury, that you don't lose something very, very precious. And to be aware, being alert and intently focused. That's really paying attention. Now, let's go through some scriptures. And there are many, but we'll just use some that describe how we can watch. For the first one, agrupneo, to be sleepless, to keep awake. Let's turn to Matthew, or rather Mark. Mark 13. Mark 13 and verse 33. That's what I got here. It says, Mark 13 and verse 33. Take heed, watch, and pray. It was interesting what Tony brought up in the first message. Christ said, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And then another scripture using this particular Greek word, Luke 21, relating to the same point in time when Christ was teaching his disciples. Luke 21 and verse 36. Watch, therefore, and pray always, for you do not know when the time is. I'm sorry, skipped a line. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, these verses, they apply spiritually as well as the physically, in both sense. We have the physical action, but there is also that spiritual aspect that's involved as we watch. They show the need for us to pay attention, to take heed in our act of watching, and then the additional admonition, and pray always. That pray, those two phrases. So this watching includes prayer, and that helps us to connect with God, with Jesus Christ, who's giving us this direction. We as human beings need their help to do that watching, whether physically or spiritually. So we do seek that discernment, and we seek the understanding to be able to fulfill our part in Christ's directives in our daily lives. Now, to add a little bit more to the term of in the sense of watching. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. It's an event when Jesus asked his disciples to watch, for Jesus was facing some, you might say, deep emotional feelings of what was to come shortly after what he was sent to earth to become for all mankind. Matthew chapter 26, and the word here, watch, is Gregorio, however that's pronounced. It's to keep awake, vigilant, be watchful. In Matthew 26 and verse 38. Let's start with verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." What does that mean? The spirit is willing. Because here Jesus was talking to Peter and the others who were listening. Here's a lesson that he taught them. The spirit indeed is willing, meaning your intentions are good. Your intentions are good. But the flesh, that's the mere human willpower. Well, we've experienced that. You know, we have good intention to listen to the sermon, but the flesh sometimes is weak and we nod, fall asleep, or any other situation, or even when you're at your laptop or a computer and you play these card games, and you're just doing that time. And I'm amazed, when I'm doing that, the mouse doesn't move. I'm out for as much as 1 minute or more, like a half an hour. And I wake up, and the mouse is still there, and the game is still there. And I can tell I'm not as young as I used to be. There are some of you that could identify with that. But that's what Jesus was telling Peter. Your intentions were good, but your willpower, your flesh, it's weak. There's really quite a difference there, just showing that spiritual meaning behind this lesson. So he was teaching that the spiritual watching coupled with prayer is quite important when you combine those two. Now, that leads to the question of what else are we to watch for? That's the second point. I even forgot to start the timer. So, okay. You don't have to worry about timing. beforehand, someone told me that he'll speak for about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. But he's got to fast 20 minutes to do it. And that was the first speaker. You know how you give something in the fast 20 minutes. And I really appreciate Tony's humor, the sense of humor. But then the other side of him, he really gives tremendous meaning in his messages for all of us. That's the makeup of the man that we do enjoy. Second point, what do we watch? Watch what? When I was first into the church, back in the 60s, late 60s and early 70s, and reading all the material, you know, they use this word, watch therefore, and so forth, Luke 21:36. A lot of attention was being paid to world events, current events. There was a lot of articles about that. Read these things, you know. There was a lot of encouragement to look at the world news and be aware and watch. That scripture, Matthew 24:42, is a part of the context of the Olivet Prophecy. So what do we find in the Olivet Prophecy? We find a number of warnings that Jesus Christ gave. He said, like in Matthew 24, verse 4, in answer to the disciples' questions in verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus in verse 4 said, take heed that no one deceives you. Okay, that's what we watch. Take heed. We watch ourselves, but we all watch others. We see the impact or the effects. We watch how that's going on in our own lives, in our own minds. And then he said in verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And he said, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we'll see that. We'll watch for them. We'll become aware of them through the news, of various news outlets. Now, Mark's record, what he said in this discourse, in Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. Verse 32, but of that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Verse 33, take heed, watch. That's that agrupneo. To be sleepless. Be sleepless. And pray, for you do not know when the time is. He said, it's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. What authority did he give them? And to each of his servants, his work. And then he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. And that particular Greek word meaning to keep awake, be vigilant. And verse 35, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Verse 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. That mere human willpower, that weakness of the flesh. When he finds you sleeping, recall the parable of the 10 virgins. And in verse 37, what he said, verse 37, what I say to you, I say to all. Who are the all? To all of mankind, to all of his disciples. Watch. Keep awake. Be vigilant. So, to the Olivet Prophecy, Jesus Christ has given us things to watch for. things that have taken place and will take place in the future. Yeah, there's so much has happened since the time when he said that. And we have access to all of that, the history, since 31 AD. We see that, we can see what's happened. We can make comparison to what's going on today or recently or what the trends are. But in addition to this Olivet prophecy, what else did Jesus say? And let's consider the words that John wrote, the Apostle John wrote in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. There's more things to watch for. Revelation 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's doing the revealing which the Father, which God gave to him, and for the purpose to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep. That's the Greek word tereo, T-E-R-E-O, which means keep an eye on, to guard from loss or injury, or to prevent escaping of that type of knowledge, escaping from yourselves. Keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. That same word is translated, keep, many times in the New Testament. For example, I'll quote John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's quite a promise when you think about it. That is quite a promise. You have that connection when you keep the word of God and keep his commandments. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's the patience that we have. Watching. That's, patience is called upon. So this shows a deep personal belief on the part of the watcher, the disciple, a person who holds fast to the word of God, to what is promised and to what is prophesied. He's watching. He may not understand what's going on, but at least we're doing that. It will come and we'll see it as it comes about. So, here's four things that we can remember, that we should remember when we obey Jesus' command. To watch, therefore, and pray always. The first one is take heed to what he says. Take heed to what he said. And the second thing is, watch for the signs that he outlined in the Olivet Prophecy, also in Revelation, but also you've got all those prophecies that are in the book of God's Word. What does it say? The Bible consists of one-third prophecy, history, one-third, and I forget the third one. Remember, but anyway, what I wanted to point out was One-third of the Bible is prophecy. It's just not there in Olivet prophecy or in Revelation. There's so much other places that we can look at and be aware of. That's a blessing from God to be able to read, to have come to understand, and then to use those tools. Then number three, while watching, pray regularly and earnestly so that we stay close to God. And number four, be involved in God's work. How do we do that? We pray for the work of God, the gospel to be preached into all nations. And we pray for one another. We pray for one another. We give tithes and offerings. And we become willing servants, helping others, filling the need as we see that need. And then watching with someone during their trial and suffering. Whether those people like Charlie Green, David Smith, and others throughout the country, throughout the world, their prayer requests are sent out. Put those names down. Read a little bit about what they're facing. And you can watch with them and praying for them. Just as Christ said to his disciples, watch with me, what he was facing as he felt the tremendous distress he was facing. So, while we do enjoy the gift of sight, there is something even more than just the physical sight. There's a spiritual sight. Let's recall what Matthew 13, verse 16 says. This is after he gave the parable of the sower. And the Christ and the disciples asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said, in verse 16, to the disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's the spiritual sight and the spiritual hearing. God grants us to have those wonderful gifts, not physically, not just physically, to be able to see one another, or even if with people who are blind, there's still a connection to be able to have that sight you can sense, and to be able to understand and love the other person, to enjoy their companionship. And the spiritual hearing, there's a lot to that as well. As we hear God's word and we grow in the understanding, we grow in the knowledge and the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we do this with a definite purpose, that to fulfill the hope of being partakers of the divine nature. Keep watching.